This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen a person who has worn the same clothes for so long that the clothes literally or figuratively were falling off of them. And yet, that's what we talk about at the beginning, and an unpleasant illustration about people wearing clothes till they literally rot off their body, and they have to put off clothes and clean their body in order to put on new clothes. You say, where in the world are you going with this? Well, that's sort of the analogy the Apostle Paul uses about what it means to come to Christ. You put off the old, you put on the new, because of Christ. It's not a pleasant thing to talk about, but every major city, and even smaller towns now, have places like exist in Columbus, Ohio, called Faith Mission. There's Street Mission, I'm sure, or missions in the Dayton area that reach out to people who live on the street, who come in off the street. And I remember talking to one of the people who ran the place called Faith Mission in downtown Columbus. He said, Randy, you wouldn't believe the people that come in here sometimes literally have not bathed in months. They have clothes that they're wearing that literally are falling off them. And he said, we have a room that we send people to. And we say, get rid of the clothes, throw them in this plastic bag, and then we give them, after they shower, a new set of clothes. And it's not a pleasant thing to talk about, but let me tell you something. That's the analogy the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians uses to describe what happens to people like you and me when we come to Christ. We put off the old. And that's the word he uses, put off like you put off a piece of clothing. And you put on the new in Christ. And then Paul, in a beautiful passage, a powerful passage, starts talking about what it is we put off, what we throw in the plastic bag, so to speak, and then what we are to put on. I really believe this can be a life-changing passage for people today, because let me tell you something, you're going to see yourself, as I see myself in this message, either negatively, positively, or both. It's in the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 22. 4:22. Paul says this, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
We'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
Two men by the name of Yokelson and Samenow, Samuel Yokelson and Stanton Samenow, wrote a book years ago called The Criminal Personality. The Criminal Personality. They studied criminals for years, and do you know what conclusion they came to? They came to the conclusion that criminals are criminals not because they grew up in a bad neighborhood. They're not criminals because they had a lack of education or lack of opportunities. They came to the conclusion that criminals are not criminals because this happened in their childhood or that happened in their childhood. Here's what they said. They found that criminals were criminals because of the way they think.
Wow.
Criminals were criminals because of the way they think. They have the attitude, I have this coming to me, people owe me, if I want it, I'm going to take it. Does it mean stealing? If it's stealing is the way I get it, that's how I get it, because it's coming to me. And here they did this study for years and found out that there's the criminal personality that says, I want what's coming to me, whether I need it or earned it or not, it's better come to me, even if I, in some cases, I have to kill. I have to kill someone to get it. You say, why are you talking about that? Because that's what the Apostle Paul says to be made new in the attitude of your minds. It all starts with the thinking. What I'm going to do today is what I've done before, is give you three thesis statements or summary statements. We'll put them up on the screen. We'll keep floating back to them. If you write down notes, I want you to write down, if you can, these three statements. Let's bring up the first one. Coming to Christ means putting off the old and putting on the new. Now, that sounds religious, but let's flesh it out into reality with the second one. The old refers to lying, outburst of anger, stealing, what I call trash talking, bad attitudes, or most of all, grieving the Holy Spirit. I want to read that again. The old refers to lying, outburst of anger, stealing, trash talking, and bad attitudes, or grieving the Holy Spirit. That's the old in your life and in my life. What's the new? The third one. The new you refers to truth-telling, anger under control, personal honesty and integrity, speech that builds and blesses, compassion and kindness, forgiving as Christ forgave us. So I'm going to read that one again. The new you refers to truth-telling, anger under control, personal honesty and integrity, speech that builds and blesses, compassion and kindness, forgiving as Christ forgave us. I'm convinced there's some men in this room who need to become new in Christ today. There are women in this room, in all three services, who need to put off the old self, and today make a decision to put on the new self as you allow Christ and the Holy Spirit of God to work in your life. Let's bring up verse 25 again, if we can. Verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. I find it intriguing that the Apostle Paul first mentions lying as something that you and I, Christian people, need to put on. And then it dawned on me, why? If there's a lot of good things in your life, but you're a liar, what difference does it make? Paul says we're a part of the same body. We are members of one body. So he uses this analogy. For us to lie to one another would be like your hand lying to the rest of your body. And then it dawned on me, why? If there's a lot of good things in your life, but you're a liar, what difference does it make? Got a lot of good traits, and you're nice, and you're kind to people, but you and I are liars, what difference does it make? And lying, you see, the problem with lying is this. Paul says we're a part of the same body. We are members of one body. So he uses this analogy. For us to lie to one another would be like your hand lying to the rest of your body. Or it would be like walking through a woods and your eyes see a snake and on the path in front of you, and your eyes lie to the brain and say, that's not a snake, that's a stick. And say, that's crazy. And so it is in the body of Christ when we are not to lie to one another for no other reason. We're members of the same body. Truth-telling is something that needs to be inculcated in children. I was reading a pediatrician this week who said most parents don't realize they have a choice. They can teach their children to tell the truth, or they teach them by default how to lie. Wow, what a statement. Parents teach their children truth-telling, or they teach them by default, by carelessness, how to lie. As the children see their mom and dad lie, shade the truth, spin it differently, they pick up, that's what you're supposed to do. That's how you're supposed to communicate with people. We're to put off lying and falsehood and speak truthfully. Let's bring up verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Verse 27, do not give the devil a foothold. That's interesting about anger. I've talked about anger before. The most requested message I've ever given on the radio was a message, you know this, on anger. And I remember asking a psychologist one time, probably 10 years ago, I said, why would a message on anger be the most demanded, requested message that I've ever given on the radio? And it still holds the record. And he said this, he says, Randy, it's because we're all victims of somebody else's anger, or we're victimizers. Or he said, we're both. We are either victims of somebody else's anger, we're victim makers or victimizers, or we're both. I think that's probably a pretty good answer. James says, man's anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. If anger doesn't produce the righteous life that God desires, then somebody tell me what it does produce. The unrighteous life that Satan desires. Why? Because that's why Paul says, don't give Satan a foothold. If you are a person, a man or woman with chronic anger in your life, I've got news for you. It's not my idea. The Apostle Paul says you're just giving Satan a foothold in your life. And I found out that's a military term that means an enemy has established a base of operation in enemy territory. It's an advanced station. It's an advanced position. And that's what we give Satan, a position in our lives and in our spirits by anger. Most of the anger in people's lives is self-centered. We didn't get what we want. People didn't fall into line like we thought they would. People didn't jump when we said jump. And so we got angry. Some of the root causes of anger are the desire to be in charge, to be in control, or to have power. When that's threatened, we get angry. And so Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, that's an interesting phrase. Do you know what that means? It's not just a cute statement, sentimental. What it means is that you make a decision as to the best of your ability. You're not going to go to bed angry.
Well, we'll continue this thought line tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org.
Now let's go to the next one in verse 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. That's an intriguing statement to me. Do you know what it says to me? That if we're stealing, the Apostle Paul doesn't lay a guilt trip and say, you terrible person. He doesn't say, you are awful because you steal. He just says, here's what he says, stop it and start working and then have money to give away. I find that amazing. In other words, Paul says, just get a job and do what you got to do and you gain money for the purpose of giving it away. That's new territory for some people. We live in a culture that says you get and you accumulate and you put away and it's all for you and it's all about you and you've got to have everything for you. And the Apostle Paul says, if you're stealing, stop it, but also start working so you have money to give away to those in need to bless people. I read recently that manufacturers of clothing, for instance, pad their price anywhere from 10 to 30%. When you buy a clothing item at a store, is for the purpose of covering shrinkage, which is a nice term for shoplifting. 10 to 30% of the price for that shirt, that blouse, that dress you bought is to cover the theft of other pieces of merchandise. We live in a culture of thievery. We live in a culture of theft. And I think it's interesting that that's part of the old you, the old me, is if you're stealing, stop it and put on honesty and integrity. I want to spend some time on verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know what's intriguing to me about this verse? Neil Anderson is a psychologist and author who says that if there was one verse in the Bible, one verse, that he would encourage everybody in the church to memorize, it's this verse. Now, that's a pretty big thing, I think, to say, if there's one verse, I would tell people, this is the verse, as a psychologist, I would want people to say or memorize, it's verse 29. Let me read it again. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. According to their needs. I want you to write something down in your notes, if you will, because I really think this is important. In fact, if you don't write anything else down, I really would like you to write down three words. Do you know what you do with your words? You do one of three things, and so do I. You either minister to people with your words, you are either manipulating people with your words, or you may even be menacing people with your words. Three words, they all begin with the letter M. We are either ministering to people, we are manipulating people with our words, trying to control them, or we are even menacing, terrorizing people, threatening people with our words. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Christian minister in Germany during World War II who went to prison. And it's interesting, and I'm reading his memoirs, he said that his primary ministry in the prison was words. That's your primary ministry. That is your primary ministry and my primary ministry, words. What do you do with your words? Let's bring up verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know, that's a heavy-duty statement to say to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but you know what that tells me? The Holy Spirit is not an it. You only can grieve a person. You don't grieve an inanimate object. You grieve a person. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you know what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you how you know it is. Has anyone ever hurt your feelings by something they've said to you? Of course. Anybody hurt you deeply by something they've done? Of course. Anyone hurt you deeply by a look they gave you? Absolutely. And so it is, we grieve the Spirit of God when we don't put off the old and we don't put on the new. It's possible to wound the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, rage, brawling, and slander with every form of malice. I want to define those words because maybe you don't know what they mean. I found an interesting definition of bitterness, not from the Bible, but from the writer Aristotle. Aristotle says this, bitterness is an angry man or woman who refuses reconciliation. Interesting. Bitterness is an angry man or woman who refuses reconciliation. I don't care what you do. I don't care how much you beg me. I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to resolve this issue. That's a bitter person. Now, the most interesting word is brawling. I thought the word brawling would be someone who's goes to a bar and starts a fight. That's not what it means. Here's what brawling means in the original. A brawling man or woman is one who is angry and wants everybody else to know about it. Boy, that's interesting. A brawling man, a brawling woman is somebody who's angry and wants everyone else to know about it. Come here, I want to tell you why I'm mad at him. Have I told you why I'm mad at her? Well, come here, let me share that with you. That's a brawler. Helen Gonzalez was a woman, a young woman, Hispanic woman, obviously, with that name, who lived in Los Angeles. She was 19 or 20. She was a young mother, one or two children at 19 or 20. And her loving husband introduced her to heroin. She says, one day God in his mercy allowed me to find a card, just a little business card, that had the address and phone number of the Los Angeles Teen Center, which is part of the ministry known as Teen Challenge. Some of you have heard that before. On the other side of the card, it said this. Society says, once an addict, always an addict. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the truth shall set you free. Curious to know what all this meant, I went to the Teen Challenge Center, Helen said. I was a bitter woman, mentally, spiritually, and physically sick. No purpose in my life. But as I listened to the gospel of Christ, a glimmer of hope, listen to this, was beamed to my heart. I love that phrase. A glimmer of hope was beamed to my heart. Perhaps there was hope for me. At last, I decided to commit my life to Christ. I decided to commit my wasted life, she said, to Christ. I asked him to come into my life, and he made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things were passed away. All things became new. May I tell you what happened to Helen Gonzalez? She put off the old. She put on the new. And it's not just a young heroin-addicted mother in Los Angeles who needs to put off the old and put on the new. It's people in middle America who go to work every day who need to put off the old and put on the new. It's people in your family. It may be you or me. We need to put off the old and put on the new.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.